This is the forbidden talk from the Montreal Python, the meeting forbidden by the space-time continuum that didn't allow me to get there. It's really just a very quick overview. We are not going to talk script. I'm not even going to show any Python on the screen here. So, really, if anybody wants to see the scripts, what I've done is... Here, let me just say right at the outset. Here's how I write scripts. Christoph Schaefer says that I'm a tinkerer, so it's kind of the way I approach things. So I'm always making little things. And what I'm trying to do is sort of, in a sense, create utilities that do one little job or one particular job, but then you go back to Scribus and then you really use Scribus the way it's supposed to be used. Because there are so many things that you can do with Scribus, there's no point in really from start to finish creating an entire document. Because what you will do is you will create a script that will do that one job, and then if you want to modify it or make something different, well, you have to create another script. You have to do a lot of modifications. It's a lot of work to troubleshoot the Python script. So when you got one working well, especially let it just do its thing. If you want to, I thought that I wasn't going to be at this talk, but somehow they didn't get the information at the Montreal Python meeting. If you go to that website, that's my website. There's a web page that I made that basically is sort of an overview of what I'm doing right now, but it also has links where you can get to the wiki that says more detail about these scripts. You can actually even click on the headings of the on the web page and download the actual little scripts that I'm talking about here. This is I think probably about the first script that I wrote, because it actually, the idea started out by me before I knew how to write Python, believe it or not, writing a Perl script which would create a Scribus document file. In other words, it would just simply assemble the text together that we would create an SLA file, and it would take the file names from an image directory and then create something like you would see here. Well, it was kind of clumsy, and it was while it worked, it really wasn't the way to do it. And the other thing, of course, that's happened since then is that the Scribus file format keeps changing. So I don't even know if that old Perl script still works anymore. But basically, the idea here was to take a directory of images. I would use this, like say, when I was taking a bunch of pictures, and just wanted to have some document that I could sort of have the directory name, as you see up in the upper left-hand corner, and then a file name. And so what you do is you point this to a directory, and first you start off and you have those two different layouts. You say, do you want 4 or 6 pages? I realize that you could enter anything you wanted in that little dialog to the left there, but the only answers that make sense are 4 and 6. Then you get the file dialog that lets you go to the file directory. You will not see the images simply based on the way that this works, but you will just find your image directory. And then in the last little dialog here, you would specify which, there's a little code there, so you can see which types of files, image files, you want to pick out. If you want to pick them all out, that's the default. But then you can select individual ones or only certain ones if you want. So then you would get this. You would get, depending on the choices of your layout. And then what I would use this one over here on the right for would be to make an album of, say, a trip. So I could add text frames in here. I could change these little text frames here if I wanted to add the name or whatever I'd want to do, basically move the images around. So that's all this one does. And other people, if you go to the wiki, you'll see that some other people have done some modifications of that. The next one, this one I have actually, believe it or not, never used in a practical sense. Somebody on the mailing list said, can you make a pie chart with Scribus? So I thought, well, that's an interesting idea. So basically the idea was to be able to enter the data, and automatically create a pie chart. Now, even though technically this runs in Scribe, it's actually this. If you look at this script, you could turn it into a command line utility, because if you look at what happens here, you start out and basically I'm just using the different value dialogues that the Scribe has here. You give it a name to a file that you're going to save. It's going to create an SVG file, and then you start entering data. And let's say you have 5 pieces of that pie, you enter 5 pieces. When you're done, you either put in 0 or just click OK, and it makes your pie chart. And then it just gives you a confirmation at the end saying that it was done. And this is what you get out of it. There's no text, of course. You add the text later. I did modify it from what you might see in the wiki and added this little key here in case you want to have that. If you don't, what you would want to do is you ungroup this SVG. And actually, this does not show up in Scribus automatically. As I say, this is just creating an SVG file, which then you can import. Theoretically, there's a command in Scriptr to load an SVG file, but I've never been able to make it work. So there's something about it I don't understand, I guess. So that's that one. As I say, I've never used it. I just did it to see if it could be done. This one I have used, and this is a very esoteric thing that I did. I was interested, I'm a neurologist, I was just interested in how do our consults come in, okay? We get consults around the clock, 24 hours a day, and you notice that sometimes a day you get more than others. Why is that? I don't know, but I just wanted to see what it looked like. And so what the bottom scale, the x-axis here, is a 24-hour clock, starting at midnight on the left and going to 11:30 on the at p.m. on the right. And then we just have relative numbers. And you can see this funny distribution. So I watched this for months and months and months of time just to see. And so I'm not sure we've really understood why there are these peaks in the day when we're more likely to have a consult called in to see a patient than any other one. This is sort of like around 11-ish in the morning. So this one is, without going into too much detail, there is a particular way that the data is created. The data is created because what I did was I used PostgreSQL to create a data which basically has a time and a day of the week. And so that then I could generate a data file that I could either look at the whole week's worth, or I could look according to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why did I do this? I don't know. I'm just crazy. Because we're not really using the information. I was just interested. But then it tells you that you have 24 data points, which is good because it's a 24-hour clock. So you need to have that as a confirmation that this is going to work for your scale. You get a choice of your polyline that you're going to make, the default being black. But since when I made this screenshot, I used a rather large color set of the Scribus GNOME color set. You have all those choices. At least tells you what the legitimate color choices to make. Then you get to actually see your data. That is so that you can choose what sort of a y-axis size that you want. Then the next part is that you actually choose whether you're going to make those axes. The reason for that is that I was doing some superimposed graphs. In other words, I make one graph and then I make another one in color using the same scale, but I didn't want to print the axes again. So if you change that to that yes to anything else, then you don't make the axes, you just make the polyline. And then you want to have the interval for the tick marks. That only shows up if you're going to make the axes. So that's what that script does. And of course, I've added labels on the ones that I would actually make any use out of. But so that's what that does. And this one is another one that's sort of work related, but came about because what I needed to do was to make some barcodes. Well, I understand that Scribus has the barcode generator built in. You can't script it though. You can't run it from a script. The other thing I didn't like about it was that it's a What it does, it makes a PostScript file that then you can plaster. And you don't have a lot of leeway of how you can modify it. Yeah, you can enlarge it, but you have to be very careful with barcodes, if you ever look this up, that there are very strict requirements here. This turns out, that I was looking for a barcode in particular for the hospital, and I'll show this at the end here. But I didn't know what code it was, so I used the barcode generator to figure out it was a code 39, which is a type of a barcode. So there's four different elements here. There's a wide space, a wide bar, and a narrow bar. And so what I did was then generate a system in this script that basically allowed you to translate numbers into these different codes and then plaster them together. And of course you have a start code and a stop code at the end. And I tried to very tightly fit the criteria. It's a little bit hard if you ever try to look up barcodes, and there are various restrictions and requirements to find it, actually. It takes quite a bit of web searching to actually find some place that talks about what the actual requirements are, but you can find that. And then you have the choice in this script of either printing the numbers at the bottom or not. And that was the other thing I didn't like about the barcode generator in Scribus, is you had one choice of font.
Sorry, if I can just ask a quick question. So you wrote this code 39 from scratch?
Yes.
Were you aware that there are currently about three different barcode generators in Python?
No, I didn't. But what this uses is Scribus drawing.
I understand.
Therefore, I can...
You mentioned before that the pie chart one was using SVG.
Well, it's creating an SVG file.
Right. So you might be interested in this. It's completely your choice. There's a barcode generator in Inkscape written in Python that basically will just generate an SVG block, and you can just import it directly. If that's useful, then you can generate any code, not just code to 39.
Yeah. I mean, but again, that wouldn't be as intellectually interesting to me. So part of the reason I'm doing this is I'm still learning how to script in Python in Scribus, and learning more Python as I go. And so, as I say, I've never used that barcode or the pie chart. I just did it because somebody asked, "Can you do this?" I said, "Well, let's try. We'll do it."
No, I agree.
And that's
this
like
one.
6 years old. That pie chart.
Oh, it might predate some of the code anyway. So
I mean, you know, again, I just do this out of interest. This, as Christoph says, I'm a tinkerer. This one basically is pretty simple. It actually enter your number. You can choose the size of those bars. You can if you want to choose where to put it. Of course, you can move it around in Scribus later on if you want to. And then it just asks you if you want to put the numbers at the bottom. And that's basically it. Now, the reason I did that, this is the reason I did that. Why do I do this? But this is actually something I actually use. Not necessarily every day, and not necessarily all day long every day when I do use it. But I wanted to create a hospital page for our charts. I wanted it to look exactly like the hospital pages in our chart. So you can see that we have these barcodes up in the upper left-hand corner, and this one over here. This is a bogus patient, so don't worry, I'm not sharing information. But they use the code 39. That's what I figured out very quickly. Well, what the hospital does, we're on our way to an electronic medical record. We actually have a physical paper chart. But when the patient's discharged, they take that and scan it into the computer system. The computer system reads the barcode on the upper left to show which section of the chart is supposed to go to electronically, and then it reads this code over here to get it in the right patient's chart, not only for that particular person, but that particular visit to the hospital. So I basically recreated the hospital pages so nobody would suspect this was something that somebody else was doing, And then I can, over here in this bottom space, I can type in my neurology consultation and thus probably have the most legible doctor's notes in the chart of anybody. And what I've also done on a few cases, for, I guess, instructional purposes, is I can do a screen grab and put the patient's scans images on the left-hand side, sometimes with a little notation on there or comment in the note that I make. And it sort of either surprised or maybe even frightened some of the medical staff or nurses when I started doing this, but they like it. They make a lot of positive comments. So that's where the code 39 barcode generator came from. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Greg.